Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
With our fourth lesson in our evangelism in discipleship series. Praise God. So as you turn there, we will see in Matthew 28 once again, Jesus said that all authority was given to him in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we see here in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we've looked at this every time, but this is known as the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is important because it reveals God's plan and Jesus' directive for his church, which is clearly seen here to win the lost and to make disciples. So this is telling us that Jesus, the head of the church, puts the importance and the emphasis on both evangelism and discipleship for his church to know this is his will, his focus, his emphasis for us. Some of the last things that he said is for his church to put their emphasis there. Now, I've been teaching in this is only the fourth lesson, on the discipleship side. Because one thing becomes very evident and clear is that Jesus does, and he's concerned for the whole wide world. But in this, what we're looking at is Jesus lets us know that bringing a person to Christ and getting them saved is just the beginning. It's our job is not over. Is not done, because Jesus expects his church to take the person who just got saved, in other words, a new believer, and make them a disciple for him. Make a disciple of them. Amen. And that's what discipleship is about and why it is so important. You know, Jesus calls. When we say, a lot of times people, when they hear the word call, you know, they hear, or maybe they think something like this: I feel called to the ministry. I feel called to do this. I feel called to do that. Well, that certainly is true, and we can find all those things in the scripture. But you'll find, if you study the word, the calls that God gives, there's many more. And it begins with that God calls and invites the entire world, every person alive, unto salvation. But once a person is saved, he calls the new believer to discipleship, to becoming his disciple. So, you know what? We will never get where God has for us in the gifts and the callings of God until we answer the fellowship or the call of discipleship upon our lives. The first call that the whole world was invited to is to be saved. We just said that. But what we have to understand is that the next call is going to be a call to become his disciple, his follower. And that call is focused around discipleship. And even if in God's grace and his mercy, like many times he does in his goodness, he shows us parts of the plan for our life that which include other things, which could include a call to the ministry, so to speak. Unless we become true disciples, we'll never enter that call. We can play with it, and we can think we are, but we must first be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And so tonight's message is this going to be entitled Discipleship and Knowing God. Discipleship and Knowing God. Because discipleship is teaching believers really how to know God intimately, walk with Him, and win in life. Discipleship is teaching believers how to know God intimately, walk with Him, and win in life. So discipleship really begins by following Jesus for this purpose, that we can personally know God intimately. That's why. Now I'm going to prove this out to you in the scripture, which I believe you already understand, because we've talked about some things, but maybe not in this degree. So I'm going to say it again. Discipleship really begins by following Jesus so that we can personally know God intimately. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, if you would turn there with me, and Jesus, and calling His disciples, He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He said this on a number of occasions that teaches us a principle, not just that He called them, but He's actually calling us. He'll call us as individuals to follow Him as well. In other words, just like He called Peter, just like He called Andrew, just like He called James, John, and the other disciples, and you see over and over again when He saw even Matthew, the tax collector, at the custom seat, He just said, "Come with me, follow me." And so these personal examples reflect to us that God does the same thing to us. You know, God, by His Word and by His Holy Spirit, is still calling people to follow Him. When we read things like this and understand, we could read the Bible. God intends that when we read it from the perspective of God talking to us. God talking to us. Amen. And God, by His Holy Spirit, not only will He speak to us from His Word, but He will most definitely speak to us by His Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so here we see, once again, the discipleship really begins by following Jesus so that we can personally know God. Now we fast forward to Matthew chapter 16, and I want us to read a very familiar portion of Scripture and with these thoughts in mind. So, in verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, man," in other words, didn't reveal this unto you, "but My Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So in other words, if we go back, put up verse 14 for me. And He says, let's go back to verse 13. When he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now go to verse 13, please. Thank you. And He says that some say that you're John the Baptist. In other words, when He asked His disciples, "What are people saying to me?" In other words, what He's saying is, "What's trending about me?" You know, this generation understands about what's trending. Okay? In other words, hey, what are people saying? What's trending? What's the latest buzz? What's the latest thing that the world is going after and following? And what they're saying about me? What's trending about me? And He told them. That's why He says, well, some say this about you and some say that about you. This is what they believe about you. But then Jesus said, "But what do you say? Who do you say that I am?" Amen. And what did he say? He said, thou art, let's go to the next verse. He says, and let's go to verse 16. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he goes on in verse 17. He says, man didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven did. And then he says, so that make sure that we understand, he says, and you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, notice this. I know that sometimes people in religion thinks that Jesus is saying the church was built upon Peter. He's not the rock he's talking about. Jesus is the rock, and in particular, the revelation knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. That revelation of who Jesus is what the entire church is built upon. Come on. And so what we have to understand is that in this is why I said discipleship is really about following Jesus so that we can personally know who God is. We can personally know who God is. So in Peter's fellowship of Jesus Christ, he personally found out who God was. Who he is. Now another thought, it's not until after you find out who he really is that you will find out who you are. Because you will always be confused about who you are until you are no longer confused about who God is. Because until you meet the Creator, your Maker, you won't know who you really are. That's a whole nother thought. But this is so important because the truth is, in the world that we live in today, where most people are missing it at, they're trending, they're looking for answers to everything, especially about their identity. Well, you'll never find your identity apart from Almighty God. Because it is impossible for you to know who you are without knowing the one who made you, because only He qualifies to reveal who you are and your purpose. And so it is, when we say this, see, he went from following Jesus to the revelation of actually personally knowing who he is, or who God is, and who Jesus is. This is the same thing. So this is why I say discipleship is really about following Jesus, so we can personally know who he is, or who God, so we can personally know God. You know this? Converts or believers know they're saved, but disciples know God and have a relationship with Him. I'm going to say that again. Converts and believers know they're saved. That may be all that you know. You know, I tell people all the time when they get saved, I didn't know everything when I got saved. I still don't know everything. It's not a requirement you knowing everything to get saved, but you got to know the right thing. You got to know that Jesus came, He died for you, He was the Son of God. You had to believe that He died and rose again for your sins. And by making Him the Lord of your life, you can be right with God. You can receive the gift of eternal life and be right with God. You have to know certain things to be saved. Isn't that right? Praise God. But converts and believers may know they're saved, but they may not really know God. In other words, and have a close, intimate relationship. How can they? They just introduced to Him. Just like the first time you met, if you're married, the first time you met the person you married, you didn't know everything about them. That's why you dated them. That's why you spent time with them, whatever you did. Amen. To get to know them. You had conversations. You asked questions. Come on. But in that process, you came to know them. And this is why I say that converts or believers know they're saved, but disciples actually know God and have a relationship with Him. Disciples have a relationship with God because they know God. And by their words and by their life, they bear testimony to the fact that God is alive and has changed their life. Their lives can testify to the fact, they're living proof that there is a God and we're not Him. But He's alive and we know Him. Praise God. Knowing who God is and how to walk with Him is what discipleship is about. And how many know this is why? Because God wants, He knows us, but He wants us to know Him. And truly knowing Him will cause you to fall in love with Him. You can't know God and not fall in love with Him. Amen. Come on. So this is why we're talking about discipleship and knowing God. So I'm going to ask a couple questions here, and I'm going to answer them. And for time's sake, they're not going to put up a couple verses here. I'm just going to quote them. You can write them down. How can we know God? Maybe one of the greatest questions, intuitive questions, is recorded in the Bible in Job chapter 9, verse 2. And it says this, I paraphrase it, but how can a man know God? Amen. How can a man know God? Or how can a man actually be right with God? That's what it's saying. Praise God. So God Himself, we can answer that, but God Himself alone is the one that can answer that. And we happen to know where we find that answer at. But how can a man be right with God? We find it in God's Word and what He said. Isn't that right? But unfortunately, people search. People look in all the wrong places. And when they can't find the answers, how many know what's really trending in the world today is they make up their own convenient answers. How many know there's a lot of people that's believed a lot of things? And I hear testimonies of people say, I grew up like this, and I became like this, I searched like this, and finally they said, I found the truth. And I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. It's amazing that what we have to realize is that God Himself answers that question. He answered it for Job. He answered it for us. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, write it down, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. A way means there's other ways. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by Him. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. Amen. So Jesus is the only way. And He, listen, gives us the ability to know God. So you could ask the question. I just gave the answer, but let's go a little deeper dive on this. This next question would be, but what gives us the ability to know God? Let me tell you this. We already just said Jesus does, but let me go a little deeper dive with you on this. Did you know that eternal life is what gives us the ability to know God? Many times we fall short of some terms in the Bible that we need to know more about. This word eternal life is this Greek word zoe. Amen. And it means the God kind of life. It is not just the duration of life, but the quality of life or the kind of life. It could maybe be better translated the God kind of life. And how many know that Jesus actually came to give us this kind of life, the abundant life and life more abundantly? He came to give us this life. But what we find out about this life, it does talk about a duration, and it talks about a quality, but this life actually does something really special. Not only does it come through Jesus Christ or by Him, but it gives us the ability to know God. And this is another thought that is so important for us to understand. Now, 1 John, turn there with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. This is a portion of Scripture I look at every day. Now, I could just teach the rest of the night on this or the whole message on this. But that's not my point. A point comes from this. And this is the record. This is the other translation. This word record means the evidence, the proof, the witness, the testimony. So in other words, God is getting ready to say, I'm getting ready to testify about something that you need to get right. He says, and this is the record, the evidence, the witness, the testimony, the proof. All those words is what this word record means, that God has given to us. In other words, God has given us a record. He's given us proof, evidence. He's given us a witness. In this case, he's given us a record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Goes on and says, and he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. It's that simple. If we have the Son, we have eternal life. If we do not have the Son, we do not have eternal life. And then, verse 13, so powerful, and these things have I written to you. What things? Not just what 1 John said, but actually you could say whatever God has written to us, these things, in particular, yes, what you just read, what John the Apostle wrote to us, in particular, these things have I written to you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God and that you may what? You may hope, wish, pray for, one day get when you're in heaven? No. Know that you have eternal life right now. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, by receiving Christ, we receive eternal life. Isn't that right? And the Bible was written, listen, this is what's so powerful. The Bible was written so that we know what God has given to us. That not only includes eternal life, but everything else that he wrote for us to know, including healing, prosperity, come on, in the list, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever God wants us to have, all those were written so that we know we could have them. But everything begins, the doorway, Jesus is the door, everything begins with Jesus Christ, eternal life, and know that this is how we receive this life. But this life, it gives us the ability to know God. So what is eternal life? Well, it says right here, it is having Jesus Christ. When we have, those that go to the altar room, one of the scripture verses that the wonderful counselors go over says, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, you turn right to 1 John and says, let me ask you this. You read that scripture. Let me ask you this. Do you have the Son? Well, yeah, I have the Son. Well, what does it say that you have then? I have eternal life. Woo! Glory to God. I do have eternal life, don't I? God said it. That settles it. Just believe it. Come on, it's that simple. God don't give it and take it back. God says, I've given it to you for all that will receive it. Amen. So we see here that we, by having the Son, we can know we can have eternal life. Eternal life, remember, gives us the ability to do what? To know God. Let me prove it to you. We'll keep on reading a couple familiar verses that you know very well. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, notice it says, the wages of sin is death. Look at the last half of this verse. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice this. Eternal life, notice the gift of eternal life comes through receiving Jesus Christ. If we back up a chapter and read chapter 5 and read verse 20 and 21, just track with me for a moment. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But here's where I want us to focus at. But where sin abounded, what did grace do? Much more abound. Verse 21. And as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So eternal life produces righteousness or a right standing with God. Isn't that right? Not only do we have a relationship with God because we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, not only do we have become the righteousness of God in Christ through this, now notice something else that many times we overlook, and it's found, and I'll tie it all together, it's found in John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is the words of Jesus, and this is life eternal. or you could say this eternal life. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. Notice this, that the Word of God calls eternal life what? Knowing God. That's what the Scripture calls eternal life, knowing God. So listen, so you don't mistake in what I say. So eternal life doesn't just mean, that means it does mean this, but it doesn't just mean. It doesn't just mean you'll live forever in heaven. Nor does it just mean you're righteous or have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. It does mean that, but it doesn't just mean that. But eternal life means you have the ability to know Almighty God. And that is what discipleship is all about and why we need to be made disciples. And that's why I said discipleship is really about following Jesus so that we can what? Personally know Almighty God. See how that's all tied together? See, we have to let the Bible define the Bible. Yes, eternal life has everything to do with us spending eternity with God. Our eternal condition, the duration of eternity, which our mind cannot comprehend. We have to understand that by faith spiritually because we live in this time realm. And yes, eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. In other words, we receive it. And eternal life is how we actually, through eternal life, possess not only Jesus Christ, but being righteous and made right standing with God. But it doesn't end there. It has everything to do with what this scripture verse is right this, that we may truly know God. And isn't that what discipleship is really all about anyway? Pointing us to? Inviting us to? Eternal life is given so that we can know God, so that we can actually know Him personally. And eternal life gives us this ability. This is why this is so important. This is why every believer can become a disciple. This is why every person that's saved was not designed to just be a convert or just remain a nominal believer, but to actually be made a disciple. Praise God, because it was and it is and always will be about us knowing God personally and intimately and growing in that. And that should thrill us. This is why we should want to be a disciple. This is why we should know why God put such a high emphasis and value on discipleship. Because He wants us to know Him as we are known. See, it comes a place in our lives where it's not just what others have said about God, like what's trending. What do you think about God? You know, like Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's not just what others have said, but knowing what God has said to you. It is having a personal revelation of God and understanding that this book right here is God personally talking to you. And it is you personally taking God at His word. And as you read this, it is just as if He was talking to you, because He is. This type of thinking and this teaching, what I'm talking about that we find in the Word, turns believers into followers and followers into disciples. And that's what God intended us to be. He's thrilled, and I'm thrilled, that probably everyone in this room tonight, I haven't looked around, is on their way to heaven. And if you're not, then you can be before the night's over with. And I'm certainly thrilled for every person to go into heaven. But it's not my job just to stop there or make you think that everything's all right once you've attained salvation. It is my job to grow you in this relationship with God. That's my job. It's called discipleship. It's my job to make disciples. And that's the purpose of this church. And when we make it something else, you know, when you really do this, this is why everybody won't stay. I'm going to just tell you, this is why, because everybody didn't follow Jesus. We'll get to the point where we looked at some of Jesus' discipleship examples. And you know, there's plenty of people that turned away from him and said, I can't do this. Or I don't want to do this. Money had them. Family had them. Circumstances, situations had them. He didn't take glory in that. But he didn't lower the standard so they would follow him. He told them what the standard was so that they could rise to that level and experience the God in the way that God intended us to know him. Hallelujah. Then life has purpose. This is why discipleship is about knowing God, learning his ways and obeying him. See, this is exactly what the Great Commission is all about. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. All things. All things. All things. Not just the good things that we makes us happy and run and dance and shout and be glad for, but the things that bring correction. All things that he commanded us. You know, a lot of times people don't want to hear it that sin still, God still hates sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And the fear of God is to hate evil. See, we don't want to talk about those kind of things because that might, you know, run some people off. Well, I can just tell you, it doesn't end there, but you still have to tell people the truth, because you don't want that. You have to understand that the sin not only separates you from God, but it will kill you. It'll drag your soul to hell. And if you love people, you will tell them the truth. And if you love God, we'll keep his commandments. And so let's look at, in closing tonight, just got a few other thoughts to close with. This part, notice, if we put up John 17:3 again, where it says, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee. Everybody say no. Okay. Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent, one and the same. Now, what we have to understand is this. This word know, let's look at this word know a moment so that we know what Jesus intended our relationship to look like. This word know means it is not general knowledge. It means to know, to understand, to know by close acquaintance. It means to be conscious of. You know, I'm ever conscious that God lives in me. How about you? I'm ever conscious that not only is God for me, and with me, but he's in me. And he wants us. See, when we know God, there's a consciousness that he lives in us. He is the creator and the God of the celestial heights. But he's also the God that lives in us. He chose to make us his temple. And how dare we downplay that? I mean, what a privilege. And we need to be conscious of that. He chose. That was his. And it doesn't mean I'm special. Humanity, this is how God wanted to reveal himself. He wants us to know him. He wants to live in us and to be conscious of him. This word to know is not general knowledge. Notice I said, but intimate. It means to have intimacy with. When you look it up, it is the same word that is used between a husband and wife in a sexual relationship. And it's bound by marriage. That's the only context that the scripture gives it in. But it's an intimacy with and God, even though, in other words, what it's telling us that we can have a personal, intimate relationship with Almighty God. To know does not mean mental assent or to mentally agree that there's a God. See, a lot of people, you find out what they really do know, what they really believe when something bad happens to them. So a lot of times people mentally agree, they have mental assent. They are assenting in their belief in God up until something bad happens to them. Or something trips them up or throws them from their faith. Then you find that it's not this intimacy or this knowledge or this knowing that we should have. It's not revelation knowledge. It's not a heart knowledge. It's a head thing. Now, how many know that we've all had some head things? And some things have hit us that our head is where our feet were a few minutes ago. But God didn't intend for that to stay that way. He intended us to have a relationship with Him in such a way that we're not moved, that we actually know Him. We're not thrown from our faith. It means, this word to know means to know by experience or to experientially know. And the reason why that is true or can be is because you continue in God's Word and do it. To know means, it implies this, it is where the Word begins to dominate you. Your feelings don't. Your carnality don't. Your mind don't. But God and His Word dominate you. This is the type of relationship that eternal life gives us, that God wants us to have, and discipleship brings in our life. Because we continually hear the truth about God. And how does faith come? It comes one way. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we continue to saturate ourselves, hear and learn, and then we go home. And we don't put this away until next Sunday or Wednesday or the whatever we pull it back out. We hide the Word in our heart. We get to know God personally, intimately through it. We take this as God speaking to us. Come on, I'm preaching. And we allow this Word to dominate our thoughts, our words, and our action. This is showing that we know God. And this is what knowing God means. It is the Word, the truth that dominates you, that produces the freedom that discipleship or being a disciple is, or being a disciple promises. Because remember, in John 8, 31 and 32, it says, then they that believed on Him, then, matter of fact, we'll just turn there real quick. I didn't have that for them to put up. We'll turn there real quick and look at that. In John 8, I know we looked at this last time, but this is the truth. And Jesus said to those Jews that believed on Him, see, they believed on Him. If you continue in My Word. In other words, you could say, one translation says to obey My teachings. If you continue in My Word, if you abide in Me and My Word abide in you, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. In other words, how do you know that you're a disciple? You continue in the Word. In truth, this is in reality and in truth. He says, indeed. He says, in truth and reality, it's not just believing on Me. It's continuing in and on Me. In My Word. Doing My Word. Then are you My disciples. You go from a believer to a disciple. And then notice what produced by being a disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This truth that you know experientially. We gave that from the Greek, from the Kenneth E. Weiss translation. the truth that we know in a experiential way, this knowing in an experiential way that produces truth and freedom. This is why discipleship is so important. Or this is why the lack of discipleship proves why so many people, believers, are defeated. Because they're looking for their answer in the wrong place. The answer is in discipleship. And how many know it takes time to be made a disciple? Because you're not going to learn everything overnight. This is why you got to continue in the Word. But the promise is that you'll be set free. So what are we talking about in the 5 minutes that we got left? Knowing God and eternal life is what it is, knowing God. Woo, glory to God. So that makes you think differently about eternal life. I have eternal life. It's about knowing God. This is what God says. This is what He wants. That was the intent of it. We know God first through His Word and our dependence upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit being our teacher to make the written Word the living Word. In other words, to take it from words on a page to revelation in our heart. The Holy Spirit makes the things of God real to us. That's His job. He brings revelation knowledge that we can see and know what God knows. We see and know what God says and knows, and particularly about Himself and about us, so that we're not deceived and we can walk in those truths that set us free. What's written must become revelation knowledge to us. In other words, it has to be revealed spiritually to us. In other words, the Word of God has to be understood spiritually. Not with that, just with our minds, but in or to our spirits. And that's when what is written or said becomes real to our spirits. And from there, it can be believed upon, received, walked on, and that's how it walked in, and that's how freedom is produced in our life. It's through discipleship and knowing God that the things God has planned for your life and my life and provided for us all can be experienced. Every step and everything. Every step and in everything. Every step He has for us and everything He's provided for us, it is through discipleship and knowing God that we find out the things that He planned for our life and the things that He's given for our life to be successful by. Eternal life is our experiential knowledge of God because it is knowing God. And discipleship is how God becomes more real to us so that we can actually walk closely with Him and fulfill His will for our lives. And having to know we're supposed to do that. You remember Jesus said, we ain't even got to that. Jesus said, you got to lose your life to find it. Yeah, that's right. So that's the tight but right sermon right there. You know, you got to lose your life to find it. How about when He said, you got to hate your parents, your children, what He mean love less than. In your own self. Oh, you can't be my disciple. Oh, you don't see that trending, do you? In other words, He's just saying this. You got to put Him, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to put Him first. Above you, above your love for everything else. Now, I love my wife, but she'll tell you, I love Jesus first. And I can tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, my wife loves me, but she loves Jesus more. Amen. And you know what? I 100% agree with it. I 100% endorse it. I 100% understand it. I'm not jealous. That's the way it should be. If it wasn't that way, you want revelation knowledge right here. If it wasn't that way, we wouldn't be together today because she'd have already killed me. Just playing, love. Wouldn't be that bad, but come on. Would you say I'd be walking with a limp? Or wearing a hat tonight for the lump on my head? No, I'm just... No, it's good to laugh, but it's true that they're the tough discipleship messages that Jesus talked about that we will talk about. We'll end up getting there. But when it's falling in love and knowing God is really what eternal life is all about. And this is why discipleship is so important to our lives. Come on, Brother Ryan, and we'll close out tonight. Hope this has helped you tonight. Didn't hurt you. Amen. Praise God. Because you know what? The true thing in the heart of every disciple, and I believe in most believers, is to truly know God better and to know Him more. Hallelujah. Heard a person, a good friend of mine one time say, they got criticized a lot by they were a pastor. I won't even say who it was. But they, you know, sometimes you're not popular, especially when you tell the truth. And he just made a comment to me. He said, you know, Brother Chris, this is years and years ago. He said, you know what? If they really knew me, they love me. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you really know God, you'll love Him. And this is what eternal life is about, us knowing Him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that reveals to us. Tonight, Father, we pray. I pray for all of us tonight that the things that we've heard, that not only receive them, but it would inspire us to know You better, to move us deeper with You. That's what discipleship does. Onward, forward, knowing and obeying all those things that You commanded us, and allowing the Word to dominate us. Father, I so know that we're all at different places. There's people that have been saved or come back to God in just a short time. So they're at a different place tonight than the person that's been saved for years. And yet, being saved for years doesn't guarantee that people are really experiencing the eternal life and that intimate relationship. So, Father God, across the board tonight is my prayer that people are crying out in their hearts, God, I want more of You. I want more of You. Many times there's things that is holding that back. And most of the times it begins with our misunderstanding of God. It could be a number of things. But tonight, I say by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word, you wanting to know God better, more, deeper, the way that He said, causes you to leave that in the rear view mirror and say, God, my desire is to be a disciple. And this is why I understand discipleship is so important, because it's about knowing You, and that's what I want. So, Father, I pray that that would be all of our prayers. And I thank You for taking us where we are to where You want us to be. That doesn't mean we're not saved, we're not even walking with You, or not even loving You. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that no matter where we're at, Lord, You know this. I'm qualifying this for the people. That no matter where we're at in our walk with God, whether shallow or deep, God, You take us from where we are to where You want us to be. We thank You. And as we begin tonight by talking about trusting and obeying, may we understand that that's what disciples do. So we thank you for being patient, loving, and kind with us all. And we thank you tonight. I see people, even God, even those that are listening online tonight, bearing their hearts, some even their knees to you, but praying and crying out to you for to know you better and to experience what you have for them. You so love us. You only have good prepared. And you're never trying to take something from us. You're always trying to get something to us. And it's your plan and your purpose for our lives. We love you. We praise you. We thank you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Ryan, we're going to sing that in just 1 second before we leave tonight. So you're going to pick back up. But as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to make sure that if tonight